We're just here crushing it. That's right. Just here crushing it.
Hi, I'm Molly Wood.
Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the daily podcast where we make today make sense, if we can.
If we can, which is usually not even possible in this world. But hi, I'm Kimberly Adams. Thanks for joining us. As usual, we're going to do the news fix, some make me smiles, and then be done. And today is what did we miss Monday? Is this going to be a new thing? What do you think?
I think so. I'm into it. Do we have like a, is there a sting? Do we have a sting? Did I make that up? Maybe later. Maybe later we have a sting. But yes, it is. We're trying out this thing. What did we miss Monday? Where there's usually a flood of news that like breaks on, you know, Friday afternoon and or the weekend. And we just want to throw it all in. So that's what we're going to do today. So no more time to waste.
Yes, because there's a lot.
Because actually,
of all, oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Like of all of the Mondays to be doing this, thank goodness we're doing it today. We're just going to ping pong back and forth because we have a bunch of links that are sort of related to each other. And also that's how conversation works. So it'll be great. So, I mean, I think that, you know, as we saw from like the big, huge stock market drop today, lots of conversation, new restrictions being put in place, some, you know, sort of deliberate rejection of new restrictions. The Delta variant is really upending things and prompting some harder conversations about vaccinations and vaccination requirements. And on a related note, in fact, a federal judge upheld Indiana University's vaccination requirements for students. A lawsuit had been filed by basically a conservative group that is anti-vax, essentially. And Indiana, in what appeared to be, according to the New York Times, the first ruling upholding a vaccine mandate by a university, this judge said, no, Indiana University can definitely require its students to be vaccinated, which I think is probably a good start. It's possible we've just been a little too chill about about vaccine requirements lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I think one of the things that really sent everyone into, you know, a heightened state of alert for this was today, and I'm trying to find the article, but I'll find it later, and I'm sure it'll be in the show notes. I believe it was the UK health minister said something like 60% of their cases are people who have already been vaccinated, which is not what anybody wanted to hear. Because
although he did then, I should jump in and say, he did then clarify that it was 60%. He came back and said, I misspoke. And that, in fact, 60% are unvaccinated, which led then Twitter to have to. Yeah, totally. And then Twitter was trending with so 40% because all these people were like, so 40% are vaccinated. That's not reassuring either. And then that led to a bunch of people saying, well, Britain delayed a lot of its second shot. So it's likely that most of those people had only had one shot. However, vaccinated people are getting the Delta variant. Not in huge numbers and not severe illness, but it's happening, yeah.
But this is like exactly how this happens. You have a government official sort of making a statement that isn't particularly clear. And what happened? The markets reacted. Yeah. I read that this morning. I had not seen this update. And you know I'm on the internet all the time.
I know, totally.
This is how this stuff really spreads, and it's just a note for me and everybody else that we have to be extra careful with this COVID information to make sure that the words coming out of our mouth are the most up to date. But as you said, the larger point being people who have been vaccinated are getting the Delta variant, and that is concerning for a lot of people. Okay.
It's concerning for a lot of people. It is also, I think, mathematically over, you know, it is. We're in a tough position because obviously we have to react to this variant, but the best way to react to this variant is not for vaccinated people to freak out because breakthrough infections are still incredibly rare. These vaccines are still incredibly effective. The number of people dying, you know, who have been vaccinated is very, very, very small. And so the reaction in the places that have been enclaves of mask wearing and vaccination is going to be like, oh, no, lockdown, don't open school, like whatever it is, right? Reimpose mask mandates. Where the energy needs to go is toward getting people vaccinated, because the longer this goes on, and I can't believe we're still saying this for yet another week, the longer this goes on, the more variants will occur and spread, and it will continue to be a problem for everyone. And I think it's probably time for, like, I don't know, if you're an Olympic swimmer and you're like, I'm not going to get a vaccine before I go to the Olympics, maybe the U.S. Olympic Committee should be like, you can't go. Like, maybe it's a time to stop playing so nice about this. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and we always knew that the vaccines meant we, any of us vaccinated, could still get COVID. You just probably overwhelmingly likely were not going to die from it. We have got to get on to these other many, many topics.
We really do. There are so many. In an announcement with stunningly poor timing, it appears that Amazon, on a related note, is going to stop at the end of this month testing its workers in U.S. warehouses. So there you go. You're on your own. The U.S. In other big news today, the United States. This has the potential, I think, to be a story that, like, seems like not, I don't know, just went by quickly and could end up being a huge deal. The Biden administration has now formally accused the Chinese government of cyber hacking, specifically breaching Microsoft email systems, and has asked all its allies to condemn China for waging these cyber attacks from around the world. I'm paraphrasing from the New York Times. And it is really the first time that the U.S. has accused China of paying criminal groups to do this big, you know, these big cyber attacks. It is a big difference in the way that we're talking to China about cybersecurity. Also, the Senate unanimously, which, I mean, our the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a bill on Wednesday that would ban importing any products from Xinjiang, China, where the forced labor and the genocide of Uyghurs has been happening. And on our show notes, you will find this piece from The Atlantic that is a firsthand account of someone who fled, a poet, like one of the world's most famous Uyghur poets, apparently, who talks about the fear and the arrests and the disappearances of the people that he knew and his family's escape to America. And remind yourself that this is happening right now in this world, right
the
now.
The headline on that is really devastating. Because it evokes so much history. It says, one by one, my friends were sent to the camps.
Yeah. Like, this is happening right now in China. And what I thought was really profound about the announcement around hacking was, you know, the press secretary Jen Psaki saying, we're not going, because look, everybody's given China a pass because of the economic power, full stop. Like, this Uyghur internment has been happening for years. This author writes about how the first time he was arrested and thought he would certainly be again was in like 2012. It's terrible. And then you have like John Cena out here apologizing to China for calling Taiwan a country, for making a geographically accurate statement in order to continue to, like, sell movies.
There was a whole episode of South Park about that.
In attitude. There was? About John Cena? Or just, like, pandering to China?
No, about how the movie industry panders to China in general.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then finally, because it's sort of related to one of the links that you have, wildfire season has started on the West Coast, and a huge, 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 huge fire is burning in Northern California. And our utility here, I bring this up because infrastructure, PG&E, the power utility that keeps turning people's power off when it's windy to try to prevent fires, has acknowledged that even in a relatively low wind event in Northern California, its power lines may have helped spark this gigantic fire that is burning in Northern California right now, because infrastructure and climate are deeply intertwined.
Yes, which gets to
this
the
is like
story
a bummer.
That, well, that's why we have Make Me Smile at the end.
Yes, totally, yeah. Phew.
So that gets to my story, which is a piece in the Washington Post about the Biden administration trying to, the Labor Department under the Biden administration, trying to look at new regulations regarding worker safety in high heat situations, because these heat waves that we've been having, especially in the West, they're killing people. especially imagine someone out working in a farm. The Post has a number that there were nearly 200 deaths in Washington and Oregon during the recent heat wave, and at least two of those workers dying suddenly, a 51-year-old man who collapsed outside an Oregon Walmart distribution center, and a 38-year-old farm worker who died while working in a field on a 104-degree day near the Willamette Valley. I mean, there was a story that I talked about with Kai last week about, you know, a recent study that shows people who have to work in high heat environment, it lowers their productivity, and it's particularly harmful to low income communities, people of color. And so now the Labor Department is looking into it. Like, do there need to be new regulations about under what circumstances, you know, people shouldn't be able to work, and what rules we need to protect workers in extreme heat conditions. And so, because that's where our climate is going. Right.
Yep.
So that was a lot. That was a whole lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
But what else did we miss? You can message us on Twitter. You can email us. You can call us, all of the different things. If there was something else that we missed, you know, I will occasionally look at the Discord, and so will Molly, and just let us
exactly.
know.
And we know that we did not talk about the other big security and cyber story today, the Pegasus Project, but Kimberly and I just so happened to get together and discuss it for Marketplace Tech, airing tomorrow. So you can hear
get a double dose of us
on that other big story. Exactly. Ha! We're taking over. All right.
Everything.
Let's do the Make Me Smile. Kimberly, you want to start us off in space?
Yes. Because you know I love space. So I love this story. So basically, it's a story from CNN, which the headline is, astronauts on the International Space Station are growing chili peppers in a first for NASA. Now, I like to garden, even though I had a pretty unfortunate event early in the season, but we won't talk about that. But I do like to garden, and I am also growing chili peppers, just like the astronauts on the International Space Station, which is really cool. And so it's this advanced experiment because they have, like, long germination rates and kind of finicky growing conditions, but also, so that's informative for them to see if they can grow them just from a scientific perspective, but also to address what they call menu fatigue on the space station, which
I
can absolutely imagine wanting to literally spice up your meals if you're stuck in a can for months.
Also, I did not know this. I'm reading this story while you're talking. Evidently, astronauts may prefer spicier seasoned foods because they can temporarily lose their sense of taste or smell after living in microgravity. What?
I know. Isn't that interesting?
I didn't really know that. Although I did know that about flying. Like, I have read that food is saltier usually, like airplane food is saltier or more heavily spiced because you don't taste it as well. And in an airplane? I don't know. I'm going to stop talking now before I make a bunch of mistakes. I'm not sure. I'll look that up. Learn something new every day.
Making us smarter.
And you have a garden story too. I actually totally do. This story is an absolute delight. When you are done with all the other long reads that we will have on the show notes today, The Atlantic, and I think it's written by a GQ writer, has this piece about, so you remember the seeds? Remember how we talked about it on the show. How people across the country were getting these weird seed packets in the mail from China, and they were freaking out. And like the USDA got involved, and all these local ag agencies were like, don't plant them, turn them over. So this writer from The Atlantic, Chris Heath, went into this long investigation, talked to all these people who got the seeds, and was like, wow, it seems like really early on, everybody realized that this was most likely maybe a scam, like a pretty popular scam known as a brushing scam that's sort of complicated to explain, but it essentially involves like kind of laundering money by saying that you're a shipping company and that you sent some people some goods, and that because of tightening regulations, you actually did have to send people stuff. And so people would get seeds in a box that was labeled like 14-carat earrings. So they were like, oh, it's probably, you know, it's probably this brushing scam because seeds are easy and cheap to spend. However, I mean, I'm spoiling it and I apologize, but it's a really long piece. And knowing your attention spans, I think it's fair. The more investigating this writer did, the more he discovered that lots of the people he was talking to had actually ordered the seeds themselves early in the pandemic because everybody was homesteading and growing stuff at home and then just forgot in kind of the fog of pandemic and supply chains being what they were. The seeds didn't show up until June.
And they probably didn't expect the seeds to come from China.
They didn't expect them to come to China because they from China because they ordered them in many cases on Amazon. And part of the way that he got this information is he went to Amazon, you know, concerning one order, and Amazon responded and was like, no, we checked her account. She ordered those seeds. And then he went to all these other people and they checked their Amazon accounts and a bunch of them were like, oh, dang it, I did order those. And so it seems like perhaps the mystery was we were all dum-dums for a little bit there and shipping took a long time.
And just and like night shopping in the fog of pandemic and just buying whatever if you were so able.
And then of all the things, if it costs like $2 and it never shows up, you kind of forget. I don't. It's just, it's wonderful. It is a wonderful piece of investigative journalism. I loved it.
Can't wait to read that.
Yeah, it's so good. I spoiled it, but it's so good. That is it for today. Tomorrow, Kimberly and I will be back taking a deep dive into, appropriately enough, the power grid, why it is not prepared to handle the effects of climate change, and what, if anything, can be done about it in the short and long term. If you have questions, things you'd like us to ask of our guests, or you know, just topics you want us to raise, send us an email or a voice memo to makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Or you can call us at that fancy new phone number and leave us a voice message. That number is 508-827-6278, also known as 508-82-SMART, or as our wonderful listener encouraged us to say last week, 508-UB-SMART.
Stop it. Really? Oh, what? Did Bridget even know that it was so good? UB-SMART. That is amazing. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by America's heartthrob, Drew Jostad.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
And Bridget reports that indeed our listeners made her smart. You be smart. Oh, biscuits. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Pretty great. I need to go and check on my chili peppers now and see how they're doing.
I know. I have some peppers that... Flowers are bad, right? I should pick the flowers off so that they don't
No, 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 don't pick the flowers off. The peppers come out of the flowers.
All right. See, I wasn't sure about that. Sometimes they do. And okay, good. Good. Okay, great. I have flowers. Yay.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.